Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
Thank you. Very nice. As Peter said, we did have a wonderful send-off for Revodia Johnson. She's been a member here for 50 years, close to 50 years, and in the last few years, we hadn't seen a lot of her, and some of us here maybe don't even remember her, but she was a huge voice of wisdom and love in our community, and her daughter Lenora wanted us to have this spray here, so just as a something bright and cheerful for our service. I know it looks funereal, but they wanted us to have it, so it's not funereal, it's just a remembrance of her life. And she had a great send-off yesterday. There are many people who shared deeply about her, which was cool. We're talking about wild mind. And I think, you know, the best minds are wild minds. And not wild in the sense out of control. We'll talk about this. Wild in the sense of free, where things are possible. Because, unfortunately, society domesticates us, folks. Don Miguel Ruiz talks about domestication a lot in his writings. But we are kind of domesticated, or sometimes called the trance, where we're all in a trance. We're turned into good little citizens so that we don't question things. We just act like the good consumer we are supposed to be. So, you know, it's not much fun being domesticated, is it? It doesn't sound good. Remember the old Jackson Brown song, "I'm going to be a happy idiot and struggle for the legal tender," you know? So it's that idea that, you know, I don't want to be domesticated, but man, I got to earn a living. I got to get on in the world, so I better conform, right? And there's always that pull then between wanting to be free and yet knowing we have to perform and conform. Perform the tasks that society tells us to do. Now, when we act out, though, from the domestication, often we act out in inappropriate ways, and we see this throughout society. We act out with addiction. We act out with self-destructive behavior. We act out with murder and mayhem, yeah? We see it in our politicians, unfortunately, the acting out. And we see it almost every day in the newspaper where somebody has shot somebody else. It seems to be endemic right now, doesn't it? Over and over again, these things are happening. That is the wild mind out of control. That's not the wild mind that I'm talking about, because the wild mind I'm talking about is wildly free, right? Radically free, and it's not going to do crazy stuff. Because really, those kind of aberrations are reacting in a desperation to the domesticity of our consciousness, right? So we have to go from one extreme to the other. There has got to be a balanced middle way. Yes? I hope so. That's what we teach in Unity, this balanced middle way. Yeah. And if you think about it, all the great masters had wild minds. They were totally out of the box, right? They'd broken down so many barriers. And each of them had an antidote to the trance or to the domestication. They offered a way beyond the domestication of our it's hard to put a name to it, but just that whole game we play where we feel we all have to fit in, you know? And maybe we do. Maybe life would be completely haywire if we didn't go along with certain rules, you know? So some rules are okay, aren't they? I think it's better that I drive on the right side of the street, you know, because otherwise it might be all over before this afternoon, you know? So it's some things are wise. Other things limit us. Think of the Buddha. The Buddha, are there times when you just put it off till tomorrow and, oh, life gets in the way, I'm domesticated, I can't run wild anymore. Poor little me. What's that? You ran wild, did you? I don't know if we need to go into this. I'm glad you did, that's great. Awesome. All right, we have some people running wild here. This is a good thing. But I want to share four characteristics of the wild mind, okay? And then also four of the ways where domestication gets in the way of the wild mind and gives us sort of a shadow side, a darker side to it. And these are the four characteristics. First one seems to be so obvious, but I think it's very important: spiritual maturity. So many of us are not spiritually mature. We may know a lot about spirit, but we're still letting ego rule us, right? So when something doesn't work out the way we want it, we immediately go back to the ego and feeling hurt or feeling separate. Spiritual maturity means I can take everything that comes, and I'm not going to be overthrown by it, right? I'm centered and poised. That was Ravodia again. She was centered no matter what. Had a certain spiritual maturity. When you have spiritual maturity, when you have spirit working with you, nothing can throw you off. Remember Jesus, when those crazy Pharisees came at him, they couldn't throw him off because he was centered in that spiritual maturity. He wasn't pushed and pulled everywhere by his ego. That's the first characteristic of the wild and free mind. Second is the wild indigenous spirit. In other words, not conformed to the world, but kind of radically free, yeah? Wild indigenous. In other words, what's indigenous mean? When we say somebody's, it's an indigenous thing. It's native. It's of the ground. It's of the earth. It's part of the natural fabric of things. So we are connected to the earth, right? We are rooted and grounded, but we're also got our heads in the air as well. So we're attached to the earth, but also the sky. It's the wild spirit that's connected to things, yeah? It feels good, doesn't it, when you're connected in that way? Ever taken your shoes off and walked out on the grass and the bare earth? Sometimes we don't do it enough, you know? It's great to do that because immediately it connects us to the ground, to the earth, to the vibration of things. My wife insists that we sleep out on the in the garden every so often. I'm always concerned about the bugs, the snakes, the this and that. To her, that's fine. Doesn't bother her. So I agree because I just want a happy life. I've got a million excuses. It's too hot. I have to get up early, et cetera, et cetera. But sometimes I run out of excuses, and so there we are, lying in the backyard all night, trying to get to sleep. But I love it because it connects. You know, after a while, you hear things. There's breezes. There's all kinds of cool things. And you wake up refreshed, thinking, wow, that was different. I feel more connected to my wild indigenous self now, not so much domesticated within the concrete and the bricks of my home. Third one, innocent sage. And that's what begins the tarot deck, if you think about it, the fool. The innocent sage, it seems like oxymoron. You cannot be truly wise unless you are still also innocent, right? Open and receptive, beginner's mind. So it's that open mind, always learning, yeah? Never, I know it all. No, there's always that childlike openness. Jesus talked about it. Unless you become like a child, stay open, stay innocent. That's where true wisdom is. And then the fourth one is lover and beloved, connecting to that willingness to share love with each other, yeah? And not be cut off from that. Because we can talk about love, and we feel we're expressing it, but we've got to do more than that. We've got to actually feel it, yeah? If you like these ideas, by the way, I got many of them from a book called Wild Mind. It's by Bill Plotkin. I love Bill. He's an adept psychologist, but he's been conducting wilderness retreats in the Rockies for the last 30-some years. And he takes people on vision quests and takes them out into wild nature and shows them not just nature, but how nature infuses everything about us, right? It increases our spiritual maturity. That's why Native Americans went on vision quests to become spiritually mature so they could handle anything, right? So that's so important, to get in touch with this wild indigenous spirit, to sleep out in the yard every so often, to take your shoes off, to connect, you know, to put your hands in the dirt. It's beautiful. It connects us to something real. And the innocent sage is the idea that we're teachable. Our minds are not made up. Because really, if you can't learn, you're not mature, right? Because maturity knows that there's always more to take on board, yeah? To be open and receptive. And then the final one is connecting to that love consciousness and being able to give and receive that. Because, you know, it seems to me we can't really give love or receive love until we're deeply connected with the all, you know? Because otherwise there's a sense of separation. Can only give so much. So let's look at the way domestication tinkers with these things. It tinkers with spiritual maturity by creating what Plotkin calls loyal soldiers. And that's where we have learned something, and we've taken it as gospel, and then we're spouting it off to everybody else. That's the way we've always done it, and that's the way we're going to continue to do it. All right? America, love it or leave it. You know, that's the loyal soldier. You know, the patriotism is very much a loyal soldier thing. There's nothing wrong with loving your country, but when it becomes love it or leave it, then you're into loyal soldier. You know, I will protect this belief. It doesn't matter if it makes sense or not. My daddy was this way, and I'm going to be this way. That's the loyal soldier. We're very loyal when we're very domesticated. We're very loyal to things, and we don't even think about it, whether it makes sense or not. I just don't like that kind of people, you know? Well, why? It doesn't matter. That's what I've always been told. They're not nice, not trustworthy. So when we get into loyal soldier, we can never be spiritually mature. Yeah? We have to question authority, don't we? We have to question the authority, not out there, but the authority in here. Who's telling you this? What? The box is telling you? Yeah. The confinement of conformity is telling you this. Yeah. All right, that's the first one. The wild indigenous spirit can turn into the wounded child. Because, you know, when we are vulnerable and open to this great world, when we take our shoes off and we're playing in the mud, sometimes we can feel that the wounded child is there with us, you know, when we've been hurt because we've dared to extend and it hasn't worked out our way. And so we have a wounded part of ourselves, yes? And that's very real, but it has to be integrated back into this safety of the wilderness, of the wild person that we truly are. Yeah. So there's work to do. If that wounded child comes up, it doesn't mean it's bad. It just means, oh, I need to integrate more of that connected safety. Because being native to a place means that it's my place. Yeah. I belong here. It's safe. It's okay. Third, innocent sage can sometimes turn into addiction and escapism. You know, it's sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And that's the downside of that kind of way, you know, way to go. When we have real rock and roll, we can still stay centered in our maturity, and even though we're innocent and joyous. When it's the dark side, when we're domesticated, that was the thing about the hippie days, which I grew up through and sort of associated with a little bit. But I never really liked the hardcore hippies because they were such conformists. They all looked like everybody else, man. No, seriously, there was an element of hippiedom that was more conformist than the suits, you know? So it's like you swap one level of conformity for another. And this isn't about that, but that's domestication at the wild level, at the escapist level. I'm escaping. I'm tuning in, and I'm turning on, and I'm dropping out, you know? You can't drop out, can you? Stop the world. I want to get off. You have to integrate yourself into the world. And then lover and beloved can lead to so many shadow parts of ourselves, you know, when we don't fully allow love, it can lead to all kinds of crazy places. We've all been there, yeah? And this is why we have 50-60% divorce rate in our country, because it's really hard to maintain a healthful relationship without becoming immature, without getting cut off and starting to play mind games. We can't all be like Tim and Irene. Yes, you can. There we go. You wouldn't want to. And why not? Because we are all We're totally unique, so we have to follow our own path. These are just simply guidelines, right? Guidelines for moving into a more wilder, freer way of approaching life. They're not an excuse to be out of control. It's a deeper sense of being part of God's order. I hope we're understanding this. Wild mind isn't just zoning out or going into a crazy space. No, it's becoming radically free, yeah? So I could truly be loving. I could truly be connected to the earth. I could truly be open and receptive, always teachable. And I can find my center. I can find my spiritual wisdom within me. I want to finish by reading a couple of poems here that moved me when I read them. I want to read them to you now. First one's by William Stafford. And it's talking about finding his muse. Finding that which inspires and connects us. We all have to find our muse, I think. Some artists found it in their lovers, yeah? They had muses that inspired them. But I think it doesn't have to be a person, but it can be. But there's something that inspires you, something that does it for you, that reminds you, oh, yeah, life really is amazing, yeah? So we have to find what is that muse. Sometimes it can be a piece of art, I think. Engage in a piece of art for a while, and it can inspire you. Music, the same, yeah? It can be our partners. It could be a teacher. But somebody, something, some idea that does it for us, that inspires us. I mean, I contemplate Jesus quite a bit, and he always blows me away, you know, because what you only have to look at the teachings of Jesus and the things he did and said, and it's like, whoa, I want to be like that when I grow up. Got that inspiration. But he calls this, when I met my muse, I glanced at her and took my glasses off, and they were still singing. They buzzed like a locust on the coffee table, and then ceased. Her voice belled forth, and the sunlight bent. I felt the ceiling arch, and knew that nails up there took a new grip on whatever they touched. I am your own way of looking at things, she said. When you allow me to live with you, every glance at the world around you will be a sort of salvation. And I took her hand. Love that. I am your own way of looking at things. In other words, only we can see things our way, right? There's a, when we, not the ego, but when spirit uniquely speaks through us, it's that authentic seeing, yeah? I am your own way of looking at things. Trust that. Trust that authentic, beautiful spirit within you. When you allow me to live with you, that consciousness of spirit, every glance at the world around you will be a sort of salvation. That gets me. That reminds me of Yoko's telling me that I do sometimes. Yeah. Thank you. But sometimes that's all you can say is, and I took her hand. See, and that's the final thing, isn't it? We can have these moments of breakthrough and these moments, oh yeah, I recognize this. I recognize the authentic self, the wild mind, the free out-of-the-box, non-domesticated thinking, but I don't act on it. I go back to my old way. And he didn't. He took a hand, and that's the final thing. You have to take the hand of that new way of understanding. And then finally, let's read a poem from Mary Oliver, if I can find it. It's in his Bill Plotkin's other book. And I love Mary Oliver. She's a great spiritual poet of our time. She said, when it's over, I want to say, all my life I was a bride married to amazement. I was the bridegroom taking the world into my arms. When it's over, I don't want to wonder if I have made of my life something particular and real. I don't want to find myself sighing and frightened or full of argument. I don't want to end up simply having visited this world. When it's over, I want to say to all my life, I was a bride married to amazement. And I was the bridegroom taking the world into my arms. That's the wild mind. And that's available to us on a moment-to-moment basis, right? To maintain a spiritual maturity, not to be knocked off base on everything that comes along. To take your shoes off today, sometime today, go out into the yard, right? Get down on the ground and put some dirt into your hands. Get in touch with that wild indigenous self, right? Stay open and receptive and give some love to someone today. Then we're connecting to that consciousness that we're talking about. Amen.
Thank you for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at www.unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We thank you for your contribution and affirm with you, divine love flowing through us blesses and multiplies all that we give and all that we receive.